talking a lot about, and just taking some weeks and kind of skipping through, but what some things that we want to focus on in 2026. And we talked about, first of all, one of my main things is, again, in the pace of life, how many know it's sometimes hard to get your own family together? Have you ever tried to just book a family, like, let's just all get together and have dinner? Well, I can't do that. I got to take my poodle to get the, you know, this. And I can't do that on that day because I got this over here. And I've got this over here. And like, and so what one of our big deals right now is I'm just like, God, help us to become a spiritual family. Right? And we talked about the fact that in order for that to happen, we've got to be incredibly intentional about our relationships. And we got to make relationships priority. So tonight, listen, it's about hearing some cool testimonies, and then we're going to eat, and we're going to goof around, have some fun. But at the end of the day, the goal is this one step to become a spiritual family. Well, I don't like people. Then you don't love Jesus. Come on, somebody. Like, you got to love, right? So we talked about making it a priority, because here's what I know. Life change happens in the context of relationship, right? And we talked about becoming a house of prayer, and we talked about the importance of persistence in prayer, and that we want to be a people who know how to pray through. And we talked about what that means, because a lot of people don't even know that term anymore or that phrase anymore. But we said that the way that we put God between our circumstances, our prayer, put our circumstances between us and our circumstances, we pray, and it makes a difference, right? And the most powerful prayers that we pray are the promises of Scripture. And there's a few more that we haven't covered quite yet, because I'm kind of just letting the Lord lead as we go through. But we're going to talk in a few weeks about generosity. I want to be marked by generosity. I don't want to be a stingy Christian. Anybody like a stingy Christian? Like, I hate it. Like, I hate the fact that we have the world's worst reputation, because no servers want to work on a Sunday, because Christians go eat to lunch after Sunday service and they won't tip. And our testimony is they're stingy. I'm like, I hate that. We want to be people who are generous, because how many would agree God's been incredibly generous to us, right? And then we're going to talk, as a matter of fact, Danny Duvall is going to actually be kind of setting us up with this. We want to reach lost people. Again, I understand that people go to different places. Now, I get all that. But can I just tell you, Jesus said, I came to seek and save lost people. Right? And so we just want to be like Jesus. This morning, I want to talk about one more that we want to focus on this week, or this year rather. And that is that we want to be a church that serves people. Can I just say this to you? This morning, look around and listen. The only reason our church exists today is because over the years, people have served. Right? They've stepped up to teach classes and to be on the worship team, and they use their talents to build. And every time there's something that breaks, we have people who have to fix things. And we could go on and on and on. But can I just remind you this morning, listen, every benefit and blessing that we experience today, we're standing on the shoulders of servants. Can I say that one more time? We're standing on the shoulders of servants. As we move into the future, and listen, we're going to have to be intentional about serving each other in the church and serving the world, right? And here's what I know, right? And just bear with me for a moment. We'll get to the good stuff in a moment. But can I just remind you and let you know this morning, our culture doesn't always view serving as a high priority. Serving is not the default of human nature, right? Sadly, selfishness is, right? Not serving, but selfishness. People want to be served more than service. As a matter of fact, we have church service. We like to be served. We don't like to come to church to serve. Right? And isn't it true that selfishness is destroying family relationships? right? Husbands and wives and brothers and sisters battle to have their own way. And when it comes to church, most people choose a church based on how can the church best serve me and my needs, not how can I serve the church. I know this is opposite of the world because we want to know, like, what's in it for me. But I'm just here to tell you, right? Like, we've got to have an attitude of service. Too often people come to church and, like, they want to know, what am I getting out of it instead of what do I have to offer to it? People shop for churches like consumers shop for religious goods and services. People are looking for the biggest return on their investment. The most common question when people are looking for a church is, where can I go to get my needs met? The first priority is not service, but how are you going to serve me? Right? And that's fine if you're checking into a hotel. Right? Fine if you're going to go to a restaurant and you want people to, right? But when it comes to God's kingdom, and being a follower and your relationship with God and His church, it's not about being the consumer, it's about being the contributor. Can somebody say amen this morning? How are you making a difference with your time and your talent and your treasure? And listen, it's less about the church's sake than it is about your sake. It's not about service so the church can get anything. It's really about how serving is going to help you. Because here's what I know. In God's kingdom, our growth spiritually is connected with our serving. Right? If you serve a little, you're going to grow a little bit. But if you sow a whole lot, you serve a lot, you'll grow a lot. Right? And I understand today it's hard not to be selfish in today's culture. Because isn't it true? Everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame today. We've even created a new term to make it sound less cringy, honestly, and more hip and cool. And we call it being an influencer, right? For some of us older people who don't know what an influencer is, it's simply when a person builds a following, then finds a way to monetize that following, and everybody today wants to be an influencer. Everybody today wants to be on top. Right? It seems to be harder today to find somebody with a servant's heart who has a genuine motive than ever before. In today's culture, it's all about self-glory and self-reliance and self-sufficiency. So many people today are pursuing power and possessions and prestige and position and what we think, even though we would never say it out loud because we don't, but we'll just slip out the back door and go someplace else, is what's in it for me? Church, what do you got to offer me? And I get it, right? Like, listen, there's nothing wrong with working hard and getting an honest day's pay. But listen, when you read Scripture, when you understand the heart of God and His desire for His people, is that we would have a servant's heart. Whether it's at our home or at our workplace or at church. And Jesus sets an example for us in Mark chapter number 10. It says, and let me just say this before I get into that. It's impossible, listen, I know it's not going to be popular. It's impossible to be a fully surrendered follower of Jesus and not be a servant. It's impossible to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus and sit on a pew and never do anything. Right? Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 38, it says this. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over to spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What's your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. One on your right and one on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I'm about to be baptized with? Now, here's what's happening, and if you're a parent, you know what this feels like, right? Because if you have kids, your kids have come to you the same way that James and John come to Jesus. Dad, do you love me? Sure I do. Will you do me a favor? How many of that's a setup? That's what that is. that's about to land the plane, right? And that's what's happening in this passage. On the surface, it seems like they're asking an innocent question. Will you do us a favor? It sounds innocent, but when Jesus presses them to clarify their request, their real motive is revealed, right? And the sad fact is their motive is the same as a lot of ours. What's in it for me? It becomes serve us rather than service to God and his purposes. And notice they came right out and asked Jesus this. Just said, will you just make us great? We want to be influencers. We want to be right up there next to you, right? They asked the same question that our culture is asking today. We just want power. We just want position, and we just want prestige. Verses 32 through 34, it says, now they went on up the way to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and the disciples were filled with awe, and the people following behind were overwhelmed with fear. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus once more began to describe, listen to this, everything that was about to happen to him. Listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. They will sentence him to die, hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him, whip him, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again. I want you to get this. Jesus is pouring out his heart about what's about to happen on the cross. How many would agree with me that you would think that the disciples would have some compassion, right? Like you would think that they would like, dude, you're about to go through some stuff. But instead, they, not unlike sometimes us, were so self-absorbed and their self-interest that they didn't even grasp what he was saying. These are the closest friends of Jesus. Jesus is needing some support. He's needing to say, hey, listen, I need some help. I need you guys to help me bear the burden. And the next word that comes out of their mouth is, hey, Jesus, will you do us a favor? Will you make us great? Will you give us a position? Jesus, we want influence in your kingdom. Like, how many would agree that's pretty selfish? That's pretty self-absorbed, right? Like he just poured out his heart to you, and then you're just like, yeah, I forget, right? And unfortunately, isn't it true? Most of us know how Jesus felt because the same thing has happened to us. Isn't that true? You've been with a friend or a group of friends, and you need to vent or pour out your heart, and after you just pour it all out, and you're just like, I'm just letting it all out. Instead of acknowledging what you just said, they basically ignore everything that you just said about them and make it all about them. Ever had that happen? Like, man, I'm really not feeling 100% today. I've been sick. Yeah, and then we go off on how much more sick we are over here, right? Ever had that? This is what's happening in this passage. Here's the problem with James and John in this moment, and the problem with your friends sometimes when they do that. Like, they're not even self-aware enough to know how selfish they're being. Right? Because isn't it true? Rarely do selfish people realize that they're being selfish. They were doing it out of ignorance. And Jesus sees the ignorance with James and John, and he calls them out. And he says in verse number 38, Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you're asking. Jesus is saying, you're ignorant of the question you're even asking. You're so blinded by self-interest, you have no idea what it would mean for me to fulfill that request. They wanted greatness. They wanted position. But they totally understood the nature of God's kingdom. Right? It's amazing to me. They wanted position and prestige without going through the process of preparation. Isn't it true today? Everybody wants to have the position. Everybody wants to be on top. But nobody wants to go through the process. Right, everybody wants a testimony, but nobody wants the test. Right? They want the influence and position and power, but they don't want to go through the persecution and preparation. Mark chapter 10:38 says this, but when Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you're asking, Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? And are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with? Jesus is basically saying to them, to get where I'm going, you're going to have to go through what I'm going through. Yes, are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to walk through, right? Everybody wants like the miracles, right? Listen, can I just tell you? We want the power from prayer, but listen, are you really willing to pray? Right? We want the miracles, but listen, are you ready? Are you going through the suffering that requires to see the miracle, right? Like Jesus, like you don't even understand that you're going to have to go through what I'm going through, right? Verse number 40, it says, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Jesus is saying, listen, these positions are not mine to give. They're given to those people who are qualified, that the Father has decided, right? Like, position, power, prestige doesn't just come to you because you ask for it. It comes to you because you're prepared for it. Right? If you want any level of significance in anything, how many would agree with me? It takes preparation. It's not going to ask. It's not going to happen just because you went and said, hey, boss, I want to be the boss. I want a promotion. Like, you've got to go through some process, right? You've got to have an education. You've got to work through some internships. You've got to get some level of experience. You've got to be qualified for it and prepared for it. And so Jesus is explaining what servanthood looks like. And James and John came to Jesus with selfish motives. They're asking for greatness. And when that moment, how many would agree, they weren't even prepared for what they were asking for, right? And so Jesus is about to have a conversation, and I just need us to lean in this morning, that if we can apply it, will radically change our life. Because we are, in our culture, me first. Our human nature is to want what I want when I, right? What was it, Burger King? I want it my way right away. And that's how we want our spiritual life. And that's what we want our position, our careers, and all of the stuff. And I'm just telling you, Jesus is like, listen, I know that's how the world operates, but we're not operating the same way. Like, that's the world's kingdom, but we're talking about God's kingdom. And it's totally reversed. Right? And we say amen, but can I just tell you, when was the last time you said, I don't want to just come to church to be blessed, I want to come to church to be a blessing. Right? I don't want to just come to church and pastor preach me a good message and teach me a good class and do all the things, but I want to come and I want to be a blessing to somebody else. Once upon a time, that was kind of the posture of the church. But today, we've got, it's all about me. And man, I'm not going to that place if we don't have this kind of program and we don't have this kind. And I need this for my kid, right? Can I just tell you, like, all right, y'all ready? Like, we have people leaving churches today. They don't have a children's program or they don't have a youth program or whatever, so I'm going to go over here. I'm just going to tell you something. You ready? You are the priest of your home. It's not the church's responsibility to bring your children up to know Jesus. It's your responsibility to bring your children to know Jesus, and the church just comes along as a help. I know that's not popular. I know we want somebody else to do that. That's not my job. No, no. You are the priest of your household. Show me in Scripture where it doesn't say that. But we live in a culture that says, I'm going over here because this is what I've got to do. And I want somebody else to disciple my kids. It's my responsibility. I'm the dad. I know that's not popular. It wasn't even in my notes. It must have been the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Or the flesh, right? Pastor, you said you walk in the flesh every once in a while, y'all. I'm just kind of tired of it. We say amen, but then we do the total opposite. I want a word from God. He's given us 66 books of the Bible. But we still, instead of picking up our own book, we want to go to another place so they'll study and pray for me and then wonder how come I never get anything out of it. The reason we don't get anything out is because we never put anything in. Come on, somebody. I'm moving on. Mark 10:42. Y'all all right out there? So Jesus calls them together. He has a holy huddle. He says, hey guys, I know that the rulers of this world lord their power over people and officials flaunt their authority over other people. But here's what I want you to know. We don't do it that way. He says, guys, you're out of line. He says, you're thinking of the kingdom and the ways that the world does. But he says, listen, if you think that jockeying for position and power and prestige is going to get you anywhere in God's kingdom, you're out of line. He says, you got to flip the script. And he essentially said, like, we got to get this right before I'm out of here. So I'm fixing to leave, but I need you, like, you're playing the same game as the world. Well, Pastor, I live in the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? So Mark chapter 10, verses 42 and 45, it says, so Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the world lord it over people and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life a ransom for many. It's probably one of the most powerful things Jesus ever said. Right? He says, greatness in the eyes of God and his kingdom is not measured the way that the world measures. But greatness in the eyes of God is measured by your service to other people. He says, hey guys, hey church, my kingdom operates different than the corporate world. My kingdom operates different than everybody else. Right? Greatness and promotion in the kingdom is not based on your position or your political influence or your economical status. Jesus says greatness comes from service. And listen, I need you to understand this, because we look at servant, we read servant in the Bible and we think, well, that's those little bitty people. But Jesus is not equating being a servant to being a nobody. He's talking about them, about the path to greatness. He says the path to greatness in God's kingdom is servanthood, not me first. Right? And I want you to notice this too this morning. Notice he did not rebuke them for wanting to be great. How many would agree you should want to do well in your job? And you should want to excel. Right? Like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be great. He rebuked them for wanting to do it the wrong way. Oh, that's good preaching, Pastor. Huh? There's a process and there's a preparation, and it all starts with having and developing a servant's heart, and that's the path to greatness. And our culture today just wants to be served. And we won't say it out loud, but we'll just, right? We do it with restaurants. We do it all the time, right? Well, they didn't serve me right, so I ain't going back to that place. Right? Again, I'm not saying that's necessarily, you know, you do what you want, but I'm just simply a heart of a servant. It's just different. He says, listen, church, in my kingdom, it will be different. I know how the world does it. I know what the world says, but we're doing things different. Here's the definition of servanthood. Servanthood is an attitude and an action that seeks the well-being of others in accordance with the will of God. In other words, serving people is one of the greatest ways you could ever serve God. Did you hear me? I said serving people is one of the greatest ways you'll ever serve God. So if we're not serving people real well, how well are we serving God? Come on, somebody. Let's look at another moment in Jesus' life, and I'm almost done. But Jesus in John chapter 13 is going to model for us what servanthood looks like. And it's the reason Listen, servanthood is the reason Christianity went from a few little people following Jesus to a global movement of now about 2 billion Christians on the planet. It's what made it happen. Right? And I'm not going to read all of John 13. I'm going to just skip through some verses, but just read them with me. John chapter 13, verse number 1. It should be on the screen. But before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. And he loved his disciples during his ministry on earth. And now he loved them to the very end. Verse number 4 says, so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. In verse number 12, after washing their feet, he put on his robe and he sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's who I am. And since I, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. When I was growing up, side note, when I was growing up in my Pentecostal church, back in the day, I hated this verse because they were bringing out water and they were going to wash your feet. And I got ugly feet. Y'all, come on, somebody. Right? I'm like, don't do that. Wash my hands. Get a washcloth and do my face. Don't wash my feet. Right? I'm sorry. Y'all are all cool. Y'all like, I got beautiful feet. I had a pedicure yesterday. Good. Good for you. Verse number 15, here's what it says. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. Verse number 17. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for talking about doing them, knowing that I should do them. Where does the blessing come from? What? You're being legalistic. No, I'm being Christ-like. Right? He said, I'm going to bless you. Now that you've seen me do this, now you've seen me model service. I'm not just telling you to serve. You've seen me model service. You're going to be blessed when you do that. Again, here's the context in this culture. People would walk, and again, this is gross. There's really no easy way to say this, right? But, they didn't have Nike stores in biblical times. They didn't just do it. Right, they just walked around in hot conditions, and their feet got a little dirty. How many, right? Anybody flip flop people here? I had a guy the other day. He come to one of our meetings with a flip flop. I'm like, what are you trying to be Jesus? Like, wow, I don't even know. Anyway, he's like, right? It's weird, but he's got his flip flops, right? Like they would have, like their feet would get really, really dirty, and you're like, okay, that's fine. Take a shower. Okay, well, they didn't have Kohler either. Okay, so they had some issues. So then the deal was they would sometimes invite people over to their place to eat and to their homes, and they would have like tables. Now they don't have like, now we got these big long tables that you sit and got bar stool tables and different heights. They had little bitty tables, and they would sit under, cross their legs, right? How many of you are glad now? You like, some of us like, I can't come to dinner with you tonight because I can't cross my legs. Because right? If I do, we're going to have to get the fire department to get me back up, right? But back in the day, they walked everywhere. And so they didn't have such an issue, okay? They didn't have it their way right away. They had to like do stuff. But anyway, I digress. They had little bitty tables. And so Hemi would agree, if you got your food right here and your cross leg underneath the table, that the cleanliness of your feet would be a big deal. Right? Like, you don't want no, get your feet off my meatloaf. Y'all, come on, somebody. Dude, did you just step in goat poop? Like, what's the deal? Like, sorry. Read your Bible. It's a lot more fun than people realize, right? You get, I'm so bored. You're boring. No, I'm just kidding. Right? So having clean feet was a big deal. And so here's what they would do. They would do what they did when I was a kid, right? And probably when you were a kid, right? You had the adults. When I was a kid, you had the adults in one room, and then the kids had to go to another because they were low on the social pecking order. Right? And so, right? And so what would happen is they would come in to have dinner, and usually the kid or maybe a house servant would wash the feet of the guest. How do you want to do that? I don't want to do that. Jesus did. To go right, like, we'll be Christ-like, but not much. And so they would wash the feet of the guest, right? And so Jesus, in one of his final displays, and I want you to think about this because the Word of God says this, one of his final displays of love of these men before he dies, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gets up, grabs a servant's basin, and I didn't get one of those this morning, and a towel, and he starts washing the dirty feet of carpenters, fishermen, and tax collectors. Ew, that's gross. It is, right? You ever changed a dirty diaper? Come on, somebody. It is gross. It's not fun. But it's servant, right? I mean, no, if you don't change your baby's diaper, nobody else will, right? Think about this. He never stopped being their Lord and teacher by serving them. Right? He didn't become less because he was a servant. And in American culture, that's what we think. Hey, servant, over here, I need some tea. Like, you're making $10 an hour. He didn't come less because he served people. He became great because he served people. And I get it. We're like, look, like, I know. I don't need us just to know. I don't need us to be informed only. I need us to be transformed this morning. Because Jesus was showing them what it really looks like, what real leadership looks like, and what greatness looks like is not what the world says is. Oh, I got a promotion. That's great. Maybe. How did you go about getting that promotion? Moving on, that wasn't in my notes, sorry. In the life of Jesus and his kingdom, greatness is not measured by position and power and prestige. The symbol of true greatness is this right here. I started to have y'all one of these made, but I got this and I didn't really like it as far as texture, but anyway, it's all good, right? Here's greatness. Oh, I want to be in a position of the church. I want to get a place where, in my job, where, like, man, they... Unfortunately, we don't want to rate, we don't want to do this flag. We want to do kind of what James and John done. Hey, Jesus, I know people, right? Because I know Jesus, and he's the king. So will you give me some power and some influence in your kingdom? And I just want to remind us this morning, and I know it's just simple. It's not about title. It's about towel. Everyone in the Bible that became great was prepared by God for greatness through servanthood. Moses learned how to lead sheep before he was ever entrusted to leading the children of Israel. Joseph learned to serve in Potiphar's house before he was ever elevated to authority in Egypt. Right? Daniel had to prove himself a servant in Babylon, in the cruel, nasty, ungodly Babylon, before he was ever given authority there. Let that hang for a moment. Instead of griping about how bad things are in the world, why don't we bring God's kingdom into this place and let God give us some authority? Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm preaching really good this morning. Ruth told her mother-in-law, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And in doing so, she positioned herself for the privilege of being in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Peter learned to serve the other disciples before he ever became the head of the church. Whoever became great at anything in the eyes of God became great because they learned to serve first. John Wesley said it this way. Do all you can, by all means you can, or all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. And I've said this earlier in my prayer, and I'm just going to say it again. Can I just say to you, church, in the most loving way I know how, Jesus is not looking for fans, he's looking for followers. He's not looking for us to show up on Sunday like, yay, Jesus! He's looking for people who hear about serving and say, you know what, it's time for me to step up and serve. In whatever way that looks like for you. And like sometimes we're like, well, I just can't do anything. No, no, everybody can do something. Right? And I'm just learning more and more that the true measure of man is not by how many people are serving him, but how many people he is serving. And so my prayer today is simply this, that we would have a Christ-centered view of leadership and what it means to be great, and that we would understand that meaning, that being a leader means not, oh, I've got a position, but it means I carry not a title, but I carry a towel. I try to serve people. Right? And I'm gonna close. Here's my deal. You're like, well, Pastor, why are you preaching on serving? Well, first of all, I just think in the culture we live in, we all want to be, like, everybody just wants to be served, and nobody wants to serve. And we wonder how come we're not seeing kingdom results is because we're not doing kingdom way. Right? It's not that God stopped moving. It's because people have started. We're more impressed with people being fans of Jesus than being followers of Jesus. We want to know all the information about Jesus, but we don't want to be transformed by Jesus. And so here's the deal. I truly believe that serving is not for the church's benefit. It is actually for your benefit. Because listen, don't just try it at your church. Try it at your job. Right? Right? But here's the attitude today. Man, the more I serve, the more they want more from me. Right? We want to stay low and have influence about what's happening in high places instead of being low and letting God elevate you and put you in authority. Again, just like he did with Daniel. Right? It was evil. And God's like, you go through some stuff and guess what? I'm giving you authority. Right? I want to bring, like, we got to bring the kingdom to Gina. And so here's my deal. Right? Everybody can do something. And so here's the deal. Over the next few weeks, we're going to have Easter's coming quicker than we think. And we're going to need some things. We're going to need some people to serve. Like, we're going to need some people to be here early. Come on, somebody. Like, that would be one place we could serve. Right? Like, right? Like, if you were going on a flight, you were going to flight, I don't know, no matter where I say, you know, like, I don't care about going there. Yeah, if you're going on Hawaii, how many know you're not going to like, I'm going to see if, you know, the flight leaves at 10:30. I'll get there at 10:30. I'll be fine. No, no, no. You're packing early the night before. Like, you don't even do anything the week before because you got to get all the preparations made. Because I got to go. Because I'm going somewhere. It's going to be fun. I just think it's really sad that we're like, okay, I can come in last minute. I mean, the creator of the universe is going to speak to us. But eh. Listen, like, just show up early at Easter so you can welcome people. Come on, somebody. Right? What's the big deal? Because it's, right, like, new people come. And none of the people, the regulars, are there to say, hey, good morning. Right? How many would agree it's hard to find a church, period? And at Easter, we always have new people. It's weird if you, like, right? And, oh, you don't have a greeter team? Listen, no, we have Christians who are supposed to be nice to each other. I was like, I know, we're supposed to have a team. I know, we got a team for everything. Now, could we just be Christian? Like, we didn't even know in the 70s and 80s we had no dream team. We were just on God's team. I know that's not popular either. That's okay. I'm not into be popular. Jesus wasn't popular either, right? So, I'm just trying to get us to understand the importance of serving. And so, one simple thing you get, I can't do anything else. I can't teach a class. Just show up early and just have a smile on your face and like just say good morning to somebody. Because it's really hard when you come into a church you've never been, and you're like, and you're like, right? Some of you, like, you're here today and I'm sitting here and you're like, this is awkward. I'm the pastor. It is awkward. I'm just trying to, right? It's just serving, right? I'm just trying to, like, what can I do? Get up and go say, good to see you. What's your name? But you know what the church in the world today does? Like, they wait for somebody to come in, don't say hello, and then want to go, hey, Tracy, what was their name? I don't know, ask! I hate it when people do that. Oh, knew what their name was. That's because we didn't get up and go. Is that serving? Absolutely, it's serving. Because it's hard for people. It's hard, right? Particularly if you come in and you're burdened by sin, right? And how many know the devil's going, what's the devil going to talk to you, say to you when you walk into a church service? And you got to go for Easter because that's what we do in the South. We're not saved, but we are Southern. So we go in whether we need it or not. And you go in and you know you haven't done everything right and you got sin in your life. What's the devil going to tell you? Everybody's looking at you. Everybody's judging you. Now, you and I know that's a lie. And if they are, they're not being Jesus-like, okay? I'm talking about serving. Just think about it, okay? They're having to sit in a place. None of God's people are saying hello. And the devil's sitting there the whole time saying, I know what you did last night. And not just last night, but the night before. And the night before that. And the night before that. And you know who you are. And you know what you did. And you don't deserve to be here. I don't know who you think you are. Everybody knows you're not living right. How sad is it that we won't just serve and get up out of our seat and come say hello? To have a different voice besides the voice of the enemy that you and I know is absolutely a lie, because the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, right? And Jesus loves them right where they are. He loved them before they were sinners, or while they were sinners, and after. Come on, somebody, aren't you glad for that? What kind of differences I make? I promise you, ask somebody. You know where people go? They go where people are welcoming. So don't tell me you can't do anything. Just show up early and say hello. I'm not asking you to, like, hey, I need you to teach, you know, hermeneutics 101. You're like, I don't even know how to spell hermeneutics. I don't know nothing about hermeneutics. I'm not asking you to teach a class. I'm not saying, hey, Four Rivers Academy, hey, I need you to teach this class. I'm saying, like, everybody has something to bring to Jesus. And you don't think it's right because we've been in this thing so long that we just get comfortable. And we don't think about how uncomfortable it is for people, lost people, to come into a church. I'm just simply saying one little good morning, how are you doing? Glad to see you. Change everything. Because Jesus loves them. And we do too, right? Right? I'm not saying we don't love people. I'm just simply saying sometimes we just need to tune up, everybody, right? Because isn't it true you forgot? Like, honestly, I was sitting in the seat right now, like none of this is in my notes, right? And you're like, I know, we could tell. It's all good. Usually when you quit going by notes and let the Holy Spirit speak, it's better anyway, right? I'm just sitting here, I'm thinking, dude, how horrible is that? To be sitting in a place alone with only the devil talking to you. And you're in God's house trying to get your life right. I'm just simply saying, guys, let's be a servant. And one of the ways, can we just start practicing now? Like next Sunday, just come a little early. Well, I don't even think we're going to have anybody. Okay. Just be nice to the people in the church, y'all, right? Let's just fellowship with one another. Hey, how was your week? Anything I can be praying with you? Again, I'm talking about service, and now I'm getting into spiritual family. I'm just saying, Jesus modeled service, and you cannot be a fully devoted follower of Jesus without serving people.